Matt, you're now on the line with David.
Hi, David. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's so good to talk to you again, I swear. And that's one good thing to look forward to is when I see I have an interview with you, I'm like, yay. I trust that everybody in your family is healthy and well and been safe through all this crazy.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Thank you.
Talk to me about this project and the new book.
Yeah, so Daylight is the third installment of the Atlee Pine series. She's my FBI special agent.
Sure.
When she was 6 years old, she lost her twin sister, Mercy, who was kidnapped from their home in Georgia. And, you know, she's spent her life wondering what happened to her. And because of this event, she's decided, you know, it's her mission now to find out what happened to Mercy. And so she's investigating her disappearance and trying to find out, you know, if she's still alive or not. And
right.
The case takes her to New Jersey, where there's a guy she wants to interview who might be the grandson of the man who kidnapped Mercy Pine. And she runs literally in the first chapter into a guy named John Puller, who is one of my other series characters. He's an Army CID investigator who's investigating the same guy for maybe running a drug operation in Fort Dixon, New Jersey. So Pine and Puller team up together to investigate his crime and also try to find Mercy Pine as well.
So, I mean, how do you keep coming up with fresh material? I've always wondered, I mean, how do you do this?
You know, I think you just have to remain curious and attentive to life in general. And, you know, I observe people. I like to go out and watch people and talk to people. I read voraciously. I read every day. I gain information and knowledge that I didn't have the day before. And I think that fills up your creative tank. The more you know about lots of different things, and all of a sudden really original ideas are spawned from that, you know, foundation of knowledge and information. And I think every day you need to sort of re-educate yourself and realize there's a lot of things out there that you don't know and you should know, so I keep plowing through that. And with that comes creativity and inspiration and melding plots together based on things that I've learned.
Well, what do you think is the number one important thing that keeps you motivated to continue to write?
I think I try to keep myself uncomfortable at all times. if you get into your comfort zone in your big easy chair and you lean back and you just think about how did I do it before, and then you write the same story, you just change the name. So I try to set up stories that make me get out of my comfort zone, write about things that I've never written about before, forming series in a way that I've done before, like the Atlee Pine series. I've had series characters before over multiple books. I've never taken one where the same, you know, investigation occurs over the course of three or five. I've had to have that thread all the way through. That takes a lot of time and concentration. That was new for me.
Right.
You know, writing from different perspectives, out of your comfort zone. Writers are at their peak when they're not comfortable, when they're on edge, when they're unsure, when they're uncertain. Because I think if you any job you do, sure whether you're up to the task or not, what do? It makes you focus even more. Because you want to make sure that you don't make a mistake. You want to make sure that you actually can, you know, rise to the occasion. If it's all easy and you think you know what you're doing because you've done it so many times before, you're not focused. You're kind of loosey-goosey and you're all over the place. And it's just not going to be a good experience at the end of the day.
Well, so this is kind of cool because in this book you're returning to your first female lead. And does that mean do you have plans for your installments with her?
Yes. In fact, I'm working on the fourth installment right now. Everything will be revealed about what happened to Mercy Pine, the twin sister. Atlee Pine can find a lot of aspects of her life as well. So,
sure. Yeah,
it's going to... And even after that book is done, I will continue to write about Atlee Pine, even though will have solved the mystery of her sister, what happened to her.
Right.
She's still got a lot of juice left, a lot of life left. So she's definitely a keeper.
Well, David, I always want to talk to you about the Wish You Well Foundation. This is something you and your wife started, and it is supporting adult and family literacy in the United States. Why did you and your wife feel so inclined to go ahead and start this? Why did that hit a heart note?
Well, I think, you know, illiteracy is kind of at the root of all the things that ail us. If you solved illiteracy in the United States, where about half the adult population read at the two lowest levels of literacy, most of the social ills that affect everyone in the world today would largely dissipate. Everything from crime to poverty to injustice.
Right.
With a more highly educated, more sustainable population, a lot of those bad things go away. So our challenge is to eradicate illiteracy in the United States. And, you know, during the age of COVID, it's been very difficult.
Oh,
we
yeah.
probably given out more money this year than we have in any other year, just because organizations have required it. You know, a lot of what they do is done in person, in classroom, face to face, which has been made very difficult because of COVID. And you say, well, people just go on their computers and all that, but the population that we're reaching out to, a lot of them don't have computers, a lot of them don't have broadband, so they can't go on the internet. Is people think, oh, well, the United States is totally wired. No, it's not. There are enormous swaths of this country that have no broadband access. So it's made it difficult, but people have adapted and become flexible, because the goal at the end of the day is to empower people, to make them have, you know, economically sustainable lives. If you're illiterate, chances are very high your children will be illiterate, and that cycle of illiteracy will be perpetuated, and that's bad for society.
Sure.
If we can get people to be more highly read, their kids will be better educated, they will get better jobs, that cycle of poverty will be broken, a lot of the social ills that go with that will be broken. So that's why it all really starts with education, it all starts with the ability to read at a high level. If we can affect that change, then it's amazing how much change we can have over all the other sort of social ills that plague us.
Well, thank you so much for continuing to do that. Online, it's wishyouwellfoundation.org. And the book is Daylight. And I thank you so much. And I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, whatever that looks like to you this year.
Thank you very much. Same to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.